Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Do I start Dalvin Cook tonight?
Handoff goes to Dalvin, and he is loose!
You're never going to be upset by starting your stuff.
Dalvin gets into the end zone!
The Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, God, I hate fantasy football. Why do I play
it? And you have to win, right?
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL analyst Ryan Clark. Coming up, co-host of Peacock's Brother from Another, Michael Smith from Dexter New Blood. Actor Clancy Brown, plus Minnesota Vikings running back Dalvin Cook. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Week 14 began last night with the Steelers and the Vikings playing a game with so much at stake for two teams that in this NFL season, longest regular season ever, don't you know, that in this season have still an opportunity to make a run. The Steelers, don't forget, once upon a time, back in those 2005 Steeler days, right? Where they beat the Seattle Seahawks in a Super Bowl, right? Excellent. They were, look it up, Chris, I believe they were the sixth seed going in. They were one of those teams that went on the road and they just kept winning and winning and winning. They went in Indianapolis at one time and, you know, remember Bettis? In the season where he was getting ready to roll off into the sunset, ball went up in the air, and Big Ben made one of the greatest tackles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just in, like stuck his leg
in
out.
Playoff history.
Turned him inside out.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, then they made the Super Bowl against the Seattle team that had Sean Alexander, one of the best running games around behind Walter Jones and Hutch, two Hall of Famers.
You're right. Six seed, 11-5.
Yeah, there, man. Yeah. And Hines Ward throws a touchdown pass to Antoine Randall-L, and the Steelers win it all. That was a year where Roethlisberger was one of those young pups, and Cowher was telling him, you know.
Screw it up.
Pretty much. Yeah. He was game manager. Before he was Big Ben writ large, he was game manager Ben. Yep. Now, here's Big Ben at the end of his run in Pittsburgh. And first half, he's washed up Big Ben. And second half, he's Big Ben. Should have been the Super Bowl MVP against the Arizona Cardinals, Big Ben. Dude, he was making plays last night in the second half. And so was Deontay Johnson, and so was Chase Claypool before you made an ill-advised first down signal. And then, you know, I guess that last drive for the Steelers is their season, and certainly their night may be perfectly encapsulated, right? Is that the Vikings down the ball inside the 5-yard line, Steelers still have a 2-minute warning in their back pocket, and they snapped the ball around midfield right before the 2-minute warning. They got right there because Claypool made an incredible catch on the sideline that also included a pass interference penalty that stops the clock, even though he kind of rolled out of bounds. So it took them 13 seconds to go half of the field, and then it took them 90 seconds to go 10 more yards as Ben was kind of dinking and dunking. And finally, one of them got out of bounds, and there was one last shot to the end zone, and Ben threw a perfect football.
I mean,
I've said so much crap about Ben this year, but that was a
perfect
football.
He threw a few dimes last night.
The ball got through really two defenders right into the hands of his tight end in Pat Freiermuth, but Harrison Smith made an equally as terrific defensive play to knock it loose, and now the Steelers are 6-6-1, and I'm still not giving up on them. The schedule looks terrible. And I know a show like this one, I should throw him under the bus and say Claypool is a moron and Colin, and Tomlin's forgotten how to coach. Not here. Not when you're 6-6-1 and you got three teams sitting in front of you at 7-5. Can't do that yet. It doesn't look good because the Titans are coming in next, and then they've got to play Kansas City and the Browns and the Ravens. That's a problem. And you've already been swept by the Bengals. And you've already lost to the Chargers, who are right there in front of you. But you have beaten the Bills. And you do have that one tie that kind of negates all the tiebreakers anyway. You just got to be better than everyone else the rest of the way. And that's a dicey proposition. And you know, for the sake of Steelers fans who adore Big Ben and think the world of him and have really enjoyed his performance and will always look back fondly on his years in Pittsburgh, I hope for your sake he finishes up strong, makes the playoffs so he can at least play one last postseason game for you, because this is the end of the road. You could see it. You could feel it. There's no way that 2022 they're going to run this back and he suddenly finds the fountain of youth and they're going to be back like the Steelers before. And I will proffer those same Steelers fans, if you sit there and you're hoping that Aaron Rodgers is going to despise the Packers by the end of this season so much that he wants to go and uproot everything and finish his season, his last 3-4 years of viability for the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, I would say you probably have another thing coming.
So
I don't think he's doing that.
Rodgers is back on the Packers.
If I had to guess right now, but again, I don't know if I don't think they're going to have another fourth down situation where they don't trust Rodgers again. And I do believe anybody can't say what Aaron Rodgers is thinking. I mean, I'm not going to say that.
No,
but when it comes down to it, do you want to start something new with a bunch of young wide receivers you're going to have to get on the same page with, or do you want to stick with Davante Adams? Do you want to go?
He was also in the last year.
I understand that. But if you can use your influence to run it all back. But why wouldn't, if the Green Bay Packers are going to tell Jordan Love, sorry, man, and turn him into Garoppolo of this equation, mm-hmm. all right, and stick with Aaron Rodgers, they're going to sign Davante Adams. I mean, you don't stick with Rodgers, and Rodgers doesn't just stay put without forcing any situation to get out of there if Adams is not there.
Right.
You know, you're going to sign them both back. That's the way you're going to do it. So you want to stick with Adams. You want to stick with a spot that you know. You have to move. You also know exactly everything's set up the way you want it, presumably. Why go anywhere else? The coach knows you. You know the coach. If you don't have a problem with him, why would you try something new? I know you had a problem yesterday when our guest
Chris Carter
termed Belichick not wanting Brady anymore.
They gave up on Brady. It's not really what happened.
Well, that's one way to term it. Another way to term it is they tried to get him to stay, even though a lot of stuff happened with his contract prior to the season that meant this was over.
But you don't.
And that
I just don't like the phrasing. Like, you don't, after 20 years, you don't give up on someone. They just.
Well, you do give up on that someone if that someone says, I'm not ready to be given up on.
Well, Tom wanted to keep playing and wanted a big extension for 30 plus million a year. And Bill was like, no. It's a little different.
But the bottom line is, do you want to stick with the guy for two more years or not? Because I'd proffer to say, if Brady had stuck around, let's just give it up there. Let's just say that's all good. They're going to be doing it again. last year wouldn't have been as bad. And this year, we'd be talking about a wrap in the AFC. Right?
I just don't think it's fair to speculate because, you know, the reason why Tom ultimately left is because the team wasn't any good. And there was nobody really around him.
But that's what we're doing right now is speculating, because if I'm in anywhere, shape, or form in the realm of speculate, right, the county of speculation, nothing is more up in the air than trying to guess what Aaron Rodgers is thinking.
No, and I totally agree with you. I guess my whole point of how we started this conversation was Green Bay or the field for Rodgers next year, you're going to take Green Bay?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I also don't know the way the season's going to end.
Because you think his mind is not made up right now?
Because the way the season ended last year, don't you think that had a lot to do with what happened afterwards?
No, I think it still all goes back to the drafting of Jordan Love.
Maybe so, but the way that it ended last year with Brady getting the win in that spot.
Brady winning the Super Bowl,
That's what I'm saying. Like, if we checked in with the situation at this point last year, even with the drafting of Love and everything else, and what we still don't know what happened in this offseason. I'm just saying that the last 2 months of that season last year definitely factored into the 2 months that happened after the season was over.
Sure, and it also trickled into other teams, like the whole thing with Russell Wilson.
Right.
So who's more likely to be on their team next year, Russ or Aaron?
Aaron.
Got it.
That's a who's more likely for down the road. We just strolled into another what's more likely.
Great segment.
But that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If I had to guess that right now.
Okay.
One's 4-8. The other one's got a chance to win the Super Bowl.
I don't think the records really matter.
I think it does.
We'll see.
One's got a chance to win the Super Bowl and is looking around. That's Devontae Adams. That's Randall Cobb. I asked for him to be here. Everything is set up the way I kind of like it. I know my car could drive to the facility the way it has for the last 15 years. Same thing with Russell Wilson, but he's 4-8, man. He's 4-8. And did you see that he said it was a non-story that his contract now includes three teams that would take him now?
How did the teams actually get out there again? It's just like, does Russ think that we're just all, asleep at the wheel?
I don't know.
And he's just like, oh, no, that's
good question.
I don't know where that came from. You're the one dictating the teams.
It's a non-story until it's going to be a major story. Probably
after the combine,
the third week of February.
Yeah,
going into the combine.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This thing's going to be lit, kids, for a very long time. Very long time. 844-204 Rich is the number to dial. I'm sorry, did we take up your grab bag time? Did we do such a thing like that?
I don't think so.
Okay, but let's get to it right here. Should we do it right here? Let's do it right here.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it right here. TJ's big ass grab bag for this Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Hit it, everybody.
Right.
Go for it.
And guys, I just want to remind you all, these grab bags, these are just like kind of my thoughts and my feelings on things that make sense to me and mean stuff to me. And that's why at the end, I leave it up to you guys to give me your thoughts.
All
so.
Right.
That being said, DJ Michael D.
Hit it. Hit it, Mike.
Hit the music.
There you go, TJ.
Yes, indeed. Kaboom. Guess who stepped in the room? TJ here. Now, let me talk to you guys about something. Yesterday, Brockman, we were watching the trailer for HBO's series about the Lakers winning time, right? It looks so good.
So good.
It looks so amazing watching Magic and Jerry Buss and Kareem and how that Showtime Lakers came about. And it got me to thinking about... And Rich, you talked about this a while ago. Is it biopics or is it biopics?
I think it's biopics.
Biopics,
so
okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
And biopic? I kind of agree, biopics. Okay. So it got me to thinking, what biopics of famous people would I want to see? So I reached deep down into the big ass grab bag today and I pulled out TJ's top five biopics that I want to see.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, I love that.
All right. Now, coming to number five, you knew I had to throw a wrestler in here. And, you probably think it would be Ric Flair or The Rock. But no, I'm going a little bit deeper than that. We're talking about 235 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal. This guy's story isn't well known. Del Tubo. His story's not well known, but it should be. You see, back in the South in the 50s and 60s, this wrestler played a huge part in desegregating wrestling events in the South, and his name was Sputnik Monroe. You might not know Sputnik Monroe, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. You see, Monroe was a heel.
What's happening here?
Yeah, Monroe was, you'll see what I'm saying. Monroe was a heel or a bad guy wrestler, right? But in reality, he was someone who recognized injustices, and he did something about it. Now, at that time, black wrestlers could only wrestle other black wrestlers, all right? Also, black fans in attendance could not sit in the lower levels of arenas. They could only sit up top in the upper levels in what they called the crow's nest. Now, Sputnik Monroe didn't think that this was right. He didn't see black or white. He only saw green. And when he realized that his black fans could not get into these arenas, he kind of went to the promoters and said, look, if you don't let these people in, I'm out. He wouldn't stand for this segregation. And, you know, he was a young man. He grew up in Kansas in his stepfather's bakery. And at the bakery, he hung around a lot of black workers. And that's kind of where he got his feelings and what kind of, you know.
So what year was this?
His thoughts.
What
this is in the 50s and the 60s.
So that's why Sputnik, I imagine, that,
yeah, because
that was
of
why the you're space thinking, race.
Yeah, someone, a local TV person nicknamed him that.
All right.
So, you know, in the Jim Crow era, he openly questioned the process of segregation. He didn't understand why skin color played a part in any social process.
Is this your way of also pitching Hollywood studios right now? Are you turning the big-ass grab bag into a big-ass pitch bag? Is that what's happening right now?
Anyway, you know, I'm just saying, Sputnik Monroe is someone who, like, I've done some research on, and if you're interested, do some research on him. He played a big part in, you know, desegregating wrestling shows. And also in 1960, he was arrested in Memphis for drinking in a Negro cafe. That's right. He couldn't even associate with blacks back then. He went to court. He was the first white defendant who ever hired a black attorney. Pitched this case. The judge still found him guilty for associating with blacks, and he paid a $25 fine for that. So Sputnik Monroe is a name that's not well known, but what he did meant a lot. And it, like I said, if it's something you're interested in, you can go ahead and research a little bit about him and what he meant. Coming in at number four, rock music always makes good movies, right, Mike?
Of course.
This band, I've said before, was one of my favorite. I don't know if they're the greatest band ever, but to me, they were. They were big. There were fire. There was blood. There was costumes. There was makeup. It's Kiss. Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you want to see
exactly
how these four
going.
Kids from New York got together and what made them become the alien and the demon and the cat and the spaceman? And how did Gene Simmons come up with blowing fire and spitting blood? I was a Kiss fan as a kid.
Dude, I'm all in because Paul Stanley's real last name is Eisen.
Yes,
so
exactly.
I'm all in to see how that came about.
Rich, four members of your tribe becoming rock and roll legends.
Yes,
that's a movie I'd want to see.
Yes, indeed.
So I got Kiss coming in at number four. At number three, we got sports, all right? We're going sports at number three. Think about this. Sometimes you have child actors or child prodigies that are great when they're little, but as they grow up, they don't quite achieve the success that you thought they were. They would as a baby. But this kid showed up on the Mike Douglas show as a little kid, barely being taller than his golf club. And at that moment, people knew that something was special about this guy. Tiger Woods. Tell me you wouldn't want to see Tiger Woods' life story. How his father Earl trained him. How he made his rise through Stanford College. How he became the greatest golfer of all time.
No,
and then his downfall, which is something that, you know, people want to see. But now it looks like Tiger's coming up again. Maybe we could end it with him and his son Charlie kind of like reclaiming that Woods name at the top of golf. And I feel like that would be a great life story to watch and see. All right, coming in at number two. Maybe one of the most famous women that we have in this world right now. I want to know how this woman went from a daughter of an unwed teen mom in Mississippi to surviving various assaults and just had a lot of bad stuff happen in her life. But then she rose up to become Miss Black Mississippi, I believe. Then she became a local news star. And then she finally got a show with her own name on it. And then she became a legend. That's Oprah Winfrey. I'd love to know Oprah's real story, just to see that on the big screen, how this woman made her ascent to the top.
She could play herself.
She could play herself.
Okay.
And then coming in at number one, I think you guys are going to like this one, man. This guy is a legend. He's been gone for a while, but we talk about him a lot on this show. He was an entertainer. He was a singer. He was a ladies' man. And plus, he kind of had his hand in some stuff that maybe might not have been in the up and up. We don't know. But that is the chairman, old Blue Eyes. Tell me you wouldn't want to watch a dope Frank Sinatra biopic.
Have they made one of those?
I don't know. I can't remember ever seeing one.
The Rat Pack.
There's been stories,
like
but Frank and the Rat Pack.
Solo.
That, not from birth to
who plays
death.
Frank.
That's exactly that's Ooh. What I'm saying. Who
oh,
plays
I
him?
I mean, I know who'd want to play him.
But the Frank Sinatra story would be incredible. I'd be down to see that. And those are TJ's top five biopics that I want to see. And as always, on, looking forward to hearing who you guys want to see.
He looks just like him.
Come on.
Old Frank, played by Rich Eisen.
I said Ronan Farrow.
Ronan Farrow.
I think you would really be into a
DiCaprio sing?
That'd be great. Okay, so here's my in terms of whether somebody would make it. Mm-hmm. Okay, I would go with Kiss one.
You go with Kiss
whether
one.
It would actually get made.
Yes.
Okay.
Kiss one. Oprah two. Like, you know, somebody might make something like that. She would have to have a hand in it.
Oh yeah.
Well, she obviously right? you're not going to make a pick about Oprah
she's
without
EP in that then.
Then I would go Frank.
Exactly.
Yeah, Frank.
Those are Frank unlikely. And then here's how unlikely anybody would make Tiger's story these days. Because you're talking like full warts and all, right?
I mean, that's I know Chris Brockman would buy a
so
ticket to that.
Beyond unlikely. I would say it's more likely someone would make a movie about Sputnik Monroe before the Tiger biopic.
Well, the thing biopic. About Sputnik Monroe, there was a bio, no, it's an, something
it's an,
that was
it's an
worked
interesting
on,
story. I've never happen. Heard of him, and yeah, there exactly. could be a lush sort of 50s scene, and then obviously showing how, you know, ugly the world was sometimes, and I don't think anybody's going to sit
I think
there.
The thing about Tiger.
Tiger's got so much influence in this world,
the
there's nobody's doing
too,
that.
Is like, I wouldn't be that into that because I've seen it all play out.
That's true.
As
too.
It happened, Tiger's been in our lives.
That's true.
The I mean, whole time.
That's true. But we also knew that at Titanic that the boat was going to sink, and yet that became the highest grossing movie of all time. So I mean,
wait
you know,
wait
I'm just saying.
Wait a minute.
Saying,
what happens to the boat?
The boat sank.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Sorry, Jack spoiler. Dies. The boat sinks.
Yeah,
whoa!
So,
whoa!
Yeah,
on the board, Jack.
Assume tape that you know what happened
Brock
in Titanic. But if you don't, I just put it out.
You haven't watched Titanic at this point.
Yeah, that's on you. Dude, that's not a me problem. That's a you problem.
Legitimately even talking about like the spoiler alert. Is he putting like a legitimate time frame spoiler alert argument
sorry.
On Titanic?
I'm sorry.
1912, so we're talking about 109-year window.
Brockman, give me one. What person's life story would you want to see?
Oh my gosh.
I got mine.
I got one.
I got it.
I got rich.
One. Michael Smith, a brother from another, is joining us next. Let's be remotely on time for him. Let's take a break. Michael Smith, what is going on with the Lakers, man? And what do we make of it? Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Michael Smith, a brother from another, which follows our show every single day here on NBC Sports on Peacock, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Michael?
Good. What's up, fellas?
What's up, Mike?
How y'all doing? I guarantee
yes,
it's going to be a great day.
I think it's – I'm going to guarantee this is a great segment, you know?
I'm with that.
And then when it's not, I'll get all the questions. What happened?
Yeah, but if it's not, like, so what? Like, what's the downside of guarantee? Like, this whole thing is hilarious to me. And not y'all commentary. I just mean the fact that it's like – first of all, it's not really a guarantee. Like
– He said we're going – Mike McCarthy said we're going to win the game
great.
In D.C. That's what
great.
He said. We're going
to win. Is that a guarantee, though?
Of course it is.
We're watering down the definition of a guarantee. Like, Joe Willie Namath is like, that's not a guarantee, guys. Because a guarantee means that there's going to be some level of accountability if we don't. All he did was say the quiet part out loud. Like, you just said it, Rich. Of course he thinks we're going to win the game. Like, he just happened to say it, but that's what he should say. And I don't blame him. I blame the reaction. Like Mike McCarthy saying we're going to win the game, that felt benign to me. That was completely innocuous. Like, okay, fine. Great. Glad you feel that way, Coach. That means absolutely nothing come this weekend.
Does it,
but
though?
Then for it to be a whole story means, like, just kind of unnecessarily feeding into it. And Ron Rivera is like, okay, great. You want to clap back, but you're clapping back at something that wasn't really that deep to begin with. And, do they even have bulletin boards anymore? Like bulletin board material. That's kind of like water cooler talk. Like, we don't even do that anymore. We don't have bulletin boards. I don't know. It just felt like a whole bunch, much ado about nothing.
I don't know, Michael. If the Cowboys lose this weekend, you don't think you're going to hear from a bunch of Washington football team players saying, we heard that. We know about that. How's that guarantee?
Rich.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
That was,
and
that
if any,
difference?
And Michael.
They're going to lose because he guaranteed it, and the Washington football team got extra fired up because the coach, quote unquote, guaranteed it, because the coach said we're going to win. So the Washington football team got up. So if you're the Washington football team, you got to reach so deep for motivation against a division rival with your playoff lives on the line that you have to step back and say that somebody's saying what you yourself believe. Somebody saying it out loud somehow offends you to the point of getting you motivated to play your arch rival.
Michael, if so, I think you and I might share similar qualities and sensibilities. If I said to you, okay, something similar, if somebody said something similar to me about my show, my performance, this thing that I have so much care and love for with a bunch of guys that I come to work with and ladies that I come to work with every single day and says we're less than because they're going to guarantee that they're going to have a better show or something like that. I'm trying to give some sort of an analogy. Mm-hmm. Of course, my show is still going to be as good as it would have been in my estimation without that statement being made. But I will absolutely have a little bit of pep in my step and high step over how terrific the show is. You know what I mean? Like, there is a certain competitive nature. And if there's any figure in professional sports that knows the variables that goes into winning and how difficult it is to win and how to make sure that winning has to be the most important thing, and thus anything else that could potentially put a roadblock in front of it needs to be avoided, it's a head coach of a National Football League team. Certainly the Dallas Cowboys.
I was stunned.
I was stunned that he said that.
Okay,
stunned.
And that's the part that I'll agree with. Is the juice worth the squeeze? What's the upside? What's the upshot of saying we're going to win? What do you get out of it? Okay, other than unnecessary quote unquote controversy. All right, but I also counter that by saying, well, what's the downside? It's kind of like going for it on fourth down and saying, well, I believed in my players. So it's like if you say we're going to win and you don't win, is somebody really going to begrudge Mike McCarthy? Forget about the football team saying, yeah, we heard that and it fired us up. But is anybody in Dallas going to say, damn it, Mike McCarthy, why'd you have to say that you thought you were going to win the game? Because don't you play to win the game? And in your analogy in terms of, like, the show thing, all right, If I said, and again, I'm just kidding here. You know that. But if I said,
yes,
man, Rich Eisen is overrated. Rich yes. Eisen sucks. He ain't interesting. Okay, that's so-called bulletin board material. But, like, it's not like you and I are competing per se because we just try to follow your show. So it's a little bit different when it's somebody that's going out and their job comes at the expense of somebody else's job. One team got to lose, one team got to win. Ordinarily, there are ties in the NFL for those that are still uncertain about that.
Yes.
So ordinarily, one team got to win, one team got to lose. But it's just, I just don't see why he should be criticized for saying something that they all are wired to believe to begin with.
Michael.
You know what I mean? It's almost like halftime speeches, man. It's like, we don't ever hear about the halftime speeches that don't work. You know, when they lose, don't nobody talk about what they said at halftime or what they said Saturday night before the game. So Mike McCarthy said his team was going to win. Okay, great. That's what I would like to think you feel that way. And if the football team needs to manufacture motivation, great, good for you. Ultimately, none of it's going to matter once the ball gets kicked off. Yeah, sorry for the cliche.
So you're saying we're not hearing what Mike Zimmer's halftime speech was last night, today? We're not going to?
Right? I mean, did it matter?
Should I ask Dalvin Cook that one?
Better than his halftime speech. Did he even give a halftime speech, for crying out loud?
Michael Smith here from Brother From Another on the Rich Eisen Show.
You don't suck, by the way. You're really good at
it. No, and I feel the same way. I feel the same way.
And I never believed that I was
whatever. Okay, so what do you make of the Lakers, man? I mean, that where it's not Christmas time yet. There's still much time to go. But, I mean, now we've got... what is it now? 26, 27 games or 25 games of actual playing, right? This week, games 25 through 27. And it's mediocre. There's just no other way to put it. It is average. It is average basketball that we're seeing. So what do you think?
That actually might be generous at various points because I got all excited the other day. I promised that I would get off the roller coaster, and I got all excited about them beating the Celtics. I'm not a Lakers fan, by the way, for the record. But I got, you know, I started to think, oh, maybe this is the team we thought that they could be. Maybe they're rounding into form at both ends. Russell Westbrook has been playing better lately. They've been defending better lately. You know, maybe the team against the Celtics, albeit, you know, the Celtics aren't world beaters and we're missing Jaylen Brown. Maybe they're starting to find themselves a little bit, and they go and lose to the Ja Morant-less, although very competitive lately, Memphis Grizzlies. I think they'll end up somewhere between the finals favorite that they were and this mediocre version that we're seeing now. I don't think that this is who they are, and I don't think they'll be worse before it's all said and done, barring injury, if that makes sense.
So we're seeing the floor. What you're
I think
saying.
This is the floor, and maybe I'm being naive, but I do think this is the floor because even within the 20-something game sample size we now have, and you're right, it's still not Christmas, unofficial start of the season, like I think you have to parse that and say, well, how many games were they missing LeBron? How many games have they missed, or all of them, you know, they've been missing some key players, you know. You know, I wouldn't necessarily make any grand proclamations about them right now. Trevor Ariza, so I was trying to remember. Trevor Ariza, Kendrick Nunn, whatever.
That's about it, yeah. I mean,
their rotation hasn't been complete. And not to mention, it should be a work in progress integrating a Russell Westbrook into a team that has two players already through whom the offense should run in LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So work in progress to begin with, but when you don't all have all your tools at your disposal, a longer work in progress. Right now, if I'm a Lakers fan, I'm just going to sit back and look forward to and enjoy winning time because that trailer was fire.
Yeah.
Nostalgic in the mean.
No, I know. That's the problem is, you know, none of those guys are going to be walking through that door, but they do have an all-time great in LeBron James, who did seem to chafe a bit last night when talking about all the different rotations that Vogel's going through, just, you know, in search of the right one. That they're, you know, that he's playing with a bunch of guys that he's trying to figure things out because there's no set rotation. There's no real set five in a way outside of the four, you know, OGs in a way. And right now the Lakers are putting themselves in position for another play-in game. You know, if that happens for a second straight year, that would be wild. What do you think about the Blazers? Do you think Damian Lillard is going to wind up elsewhere by next year, something? What do you think?
I don't believe so. Like, there are two stories this week that came up for various reasons that I feel like you should strongly consider retiring. One is the when will Tom Brady retire story.
Okay.
Two is when will Damian Lillard actually ask out? Now, that doesn't mean that it can't get so bad until he and whoever is the full-time general manager and Jody Allen can't come to some kind of agreement about what's best for him and the organization mutually. But even though it kind of felt like he was headed in that direction in the offseason with some of the things he said after the Nuggets loss, I don't think Damian Lillard, and we just got to accept this, Damian Lillard is not that dude that's going to say, man, you know what? This ain't going to work here. Y'all got to trade me to a contender. I'm going ring chasing. He's never been that dude. He's not that dude. And everybody else holding their breath thinking he's going to be that dude. Like, this guy is 10 toes down professionally and personally in Portland, you know, for a variety of reasons, a lot of them off the court. Like, that's his home, and that's where he wants to be, no matter how much we've come so far in the rings culture that not only are we okay with guys forming super teams or chasing rings with contenders, but now when somebody doesn't do it, we look at them sideways like, yo, what's wrong with you, man? Get with the program. You're supposed to be going, trying to get with the Lakers or the Nets or form a super team somewhere. Why? What's taking you so long? I don't think he's going to do that. To me, it really comes down to and you and I have had this conversation a lot. We've all had this conversation quite a bit, fellas, is does Daryl Morey blink? Because I think if I'm going to start shaking it up in Portland, I know he's going through a lot right now. He's got a baby on the way. He's got a collapsed lung. I think it starts with C.J. McCollum. I think they're too redundant and have been for a while in the backcourt. I think it starts with, can Portland put together a deal that gets Ben Simmons to Portland and improves that defense? And if and when Damian Lillard decides and the organization collectively decides that he needs to move on somewhere else, whether it's we don't want to extend you or it's run its course and you want to go for a fresh start against his – you know, his reputation, then at least you have Ben Simmons to build around. Does that make sense?
Sure does. Sixers are 14-12, so I don't know if that's desperate enough. But they're certainly not at the top of the pack like they were last year.
How would you solve it in Portland? Where would you start?
I don't know, man. No, I know the way my guy Chris Brockman would just tell Lillard, you're out, you know,
and
send
up.
Him. Like he's
up,
that he is easily the best chip that you can cash in for multiple picks to try and just restart. I just don't see
like
that.
Some like take a look at the bad guy type thing. Like, okay, I'll do the uncomfortable thing and I'm going to trade you, Damian Lillard. Like,
pretty much. But I think that's a non-starter in that town. They have a different fan base than most over in Portland. You know, and that I think they want Lillard. I think Lillard wants them, and they're just going to try and figure it out. I don't know how you do. Because it is a very difficult puzzle, certainly with a new coach there and Billups, and it's just not working. It's terrible. And McCollum, it might be the piece that you trade if you can, and I hate to refer to him as such, or the player that you trade, but he's hurt. I don't know. You got to play through it. Let Lillard come back Sunday, as you know the report is, and see if that gets better. Can he just carry the team by himself?
He hasn't been playing well.
He's been hurt.
Not bury that. You know, he's been hurt and not playing well. So it's not as though, you know, this is the Dame Lillard we left in the playoffs last year. So he bears some responsibility in it as well.
And I've been definitely, you know, talking about the Brady retirement story this week, not because I'm trying to drum anything up, to be honest with you. It's because I saw a quote in a piece in Sports Illustrated that I'd never heard out of his mouth before, you know.
Which one?
The one where he says that when he called winning a relief. It's not like the joy, it's a relief, because when you win, sometimes just winning isn't good enough for you because you expect perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I hear from people that just, you know, suddenly decide it's just not worth it, which is something that I've never thought I would ascribe to him. You know, I never, like, the winningest, the guy who's won more, no one's ever going to win like Brady, ever. Again,
right.
And I feel very safe in saying that, you know, that generations will come and go, you know, knocking on wood on this planet and, you know, where football can be played, and we'll never, never, ever see a winning Like they could rename the trophy the Brady Trophy one day, yeah. and people shouldn't bat an eyelash, with all due respect to the Lombardi family. And he's calling it a relief. That kind of stood out to me.
Well, a couple of things. So that was the story I was talking about, because he got Sports Person of the Year.
Yeah.
And that's what I was referring to. I was like, just the idea of when he's going to call it quits. So the regression comment jumped out to me because
right.
He's like, I don't want to get bad. Well, he's the best quarterback in the league right now, and he's about to be the MVP again. So does he regress to where he was? If conventional wisdom says he's playing as well, if not better than ever, at 44,
right.
Regression only looks like him being not old as in age Tom Brady, but old as in previous iteration of Tom Brady. From a physical standpoint, he's not going to get dumber per se. So from a physical standpoint, he's got enough mental acumen to be able to offset whatever arm strength he may lose, but his arm is as strong as ever. So that was the part that jumped out to me. But even in terms of the relief thing, I didn't read it as a negative. I read it as people like Tom Brady are driven by that. Like, it's almost like a burden that they enjoy bearing, if that makes sense.
Right, I know, but then the enjoyment finally wears off, because that's the whole point about it, is that you know how it works in this business. It's either your choice to retire or Father Time's choice that you retire. And he doesn't want to be in the middle of a season where Father Time makes that choice for him.
Father Time is holding the L. Like, that fight, I was saying it yesterday. We can't keep talking about Father Time as undefeated. No, Father Time has lost. And he doesn't just get to fight, you know, forever. Like, he's lost to Tom Brady. In the event that Tom Brady actually does decide to retire, that does not go in the ledger as a victory for Father Time. Because the fact that he's currently just at 44 counts as a win. That's number one. Number two, I think he's addicted to it. Maybe there's some sort of masochism involved. I don't know, but I think, you know, and it's funny because we thought that the misery was a product of strictly Bill Belichick. They're more alike than maybe the conversation around his departure would lead us to believe. Like, oh, he was just so tired of being taken for granted and being a miserable environment in New England. It's like, no, that's how Brady's wired too. So I think that misery is what keeps him going. If he ever started to feel a sense of joy about winning. And listen, I'm spitballing here because I don't know what it's like to be Tom Brady, but I imagine if he ever started to feel a sense of joy about winning, joy may come dangerously close to satisfaction. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Like, I think the most greats say this, whether it's Jordan, whether it's Brady, a lot of great athletes and competitors say it's not, I think Pat Riley especially, it's not the winning. It's the, you know, I feel better. The losses hurt more than the wins feel good.
Right, exactly.
But I think that's what drives them, though. I think that's what makes them great. I don't think it's a negative. I don't think it's going to drive him to retirement. I think it's what drives him to keep playing is that, sorry, Lexus, but that relentless pursuit of perfection.
Michael Smith, everybody, from
yes,
Brother.
Sir,
from
yes, sir.
Thanks, as always, Michael. Appreciate it. Let's do this again.
Was that a great segment?
I thought it was.
Sure?
However, in my own, you know, potential, this is my insecurity. It's my problem. This is an MP, not a YP. It's a my problem. I feel like over the last couple times you've called in, I've made you talk about topics you find less than. You know, I mean, you'd
no,
like to no, like you're, no. You want to retire these two topics, and I brought them up to you, and we chopped it up, and then you know. I mentioned something from another guy from another network who shares the same last name as you. You brought that up. That was a problem. I just want to make sure. If you want to set the agenda next time, you just let me know. Let's talk some topics that you're into. So, appreciate it.
I see what you tried to do there, Rich. I love our topics. I love our chat.
Right back at you.
I hope you and your listeners do as well. Let them be the judge. I'll put it on a poll or something. Was that a victorious?
Okay, there you go. Very good. Have a great show later on. Thanks for the call, Michael.
All right, man. You'll be good.
Michael Smith, everybody. Brother from another follows us on NBC Sports on Peacock. Let's beat it. So we come back. We got some higher registers. Let's go. We haven't done that in a while.
It's been a minute.
Higher register.
Yes.
When we come back.
Can we still do it?
It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least The partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
There's a chance.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I haven't heard this in a while.
But there could be.
Higher register. Take of the week.
Okay, very good.
Caliendo doing Schefter.
He sounds all right, hit it. Let's do Brockman, TJ, and then me. And then if we have time for one more, you got Del Tufo. You don't have one anymore. Okay, here you go.
I do have one.
Chris Brockman, you're first up with your higher register.
Great.
Go for it.
All right, I'm going to go with Cincinnati, guys. They're hosting San Francisco. Now, I know they're underdogs. I actually think that the Bengals are going to win this weekend and probably win the AFC North.
Really?
I'm just looking at the way everything shaked out. Last night kind of went in Cincinnati's favor. If the Browns end up beating the Ravens this weekend, the Ravens fall to 8-5, and if
they've
Cincinnati
swept
gets
the Steelers,
a win, they're going to be 8-5.
And they can sweep the Ravens.
So I kind of think Cincinnati wins the division.
Okay, there you go. You need to be convinced of it. What are you over there, TJ Jefferson?
All right, Rich and Chris and Mike. You know, this team last year, I was very highly invested in them for fantasy football purposes. Don't have as many of their players this year, but I'm still keeping an eye on them. And, you know, they started off 0-3. Things did not look well, a new quarterback and such, but you know, we've gotten a little look into them and their inner workings a little bit through Hard Knocks. And I think I'm back on the train. And I think after an 0-3 start, I'm pretty sure the Colts are going to win the AFC South.
AFC
South.
The AFC South.
Wow.
That would be something else. They're 7-6, and the Titans have swept them already.
But losing Derrick Henry is so big. Rich,
I know.
Can you overcome that? I don't know.
I don't know. They're going to have to beat
A.J. Brown and Julio aren't exactly
they're gonna have to have,
killing it.
They're going to have to be three better than the Titans the rest of the way. That's a very higher register.
Very high, and plus they have the Patriots coming up.
Okay.
So
as you know, prior to the regular season, we all made predictions on who wins what division, right? And so I, going into the season, believed in Fitzmagic. And why not? Why don't you believe in Fitzmagic, right? Did not see a hip injury in week one that would knock Fitzmagic out. Who douses Fitzmagic? Who?
No one.
The injury gods do,
no one.
Okay? Usually Fitzmagic comes out of nowhere. It doesn't get snuffed out of nowhere. And then everybody thought, okay, can the Washington football team start hitting people with the Heineke? And it took a while, but now they are. Mm-hmm. And I said going into the season, the Washington football team was going to win the NFC East. And now they have won many in a row.
Oh,
they're now 6-6. Mike McCarthy's guaranteed a win in FedEx Field this Sunday. I think the Washington football team wins that one. And maybe they make my preseason prediction of winning the NFC East correct after all.
I win money on that.
Maybe they just go ahead and do it. Because they'd be one game behind Dallas, and then they win in Dallas in a couple weeks. They got the tiebreak on him. Maybe, just maybe, Dallas comes and visits the Washington football team to play him for a third time in the first week of the wild card.
Settle down just a little bit.
Thank you, Mike.
Jerry,
I think they win this weekend, too.
What? You know, I mean, Ron Rivera says he told his team that what McCarthy said was interesting but not important. What's important is your preparation, but it's right. Interesting.
But it's
We're going to beat the Washington football team like they stole something from us on Sunday. All right. I guarantee it.
Oh, boy, Sunday
TJ Jefferson on the Rich Eisen
fun.
Show said it.
And then Monday might be particularly fun.
I might not come to work on Monday.
Chunk out of the pie.
That's my higher register.
If something goes
bad,
you know
what would have been a higher register yesterday at this time? Maybe Dalvin Cook starts and runs for 200 yards on this Thursday night anyway.
That would have been so higher register, like only your dog would have heard.
And then it happened. He's coming up next, and so is Clancy.